opinion. Mannering was competitive by nature, and among the many hypothetical trophies for which he competed daily was one engraved with the names of every one of his associates. Were he ever to be forced to choose between another man's betterment and another man's compliance, he would choose the latter no matter the cost. He would not go soft upon Frost, who was soft enough already, and he would ensure that the boy knew his place, but he was not too proud to extend a hand of kindness, not least because kindness was so patently desired. But Frost did not respond. He was appalled to see an A-frame calico tent, barely big enough to fit three men lying side by side, sporting the hand-painted sign, Hotel. He was appalled still further to see a digger unbutton his trousers and relieve himself in full view of his fellows onto the stones at the riverside. He recoiled, and then, to his alarm, heard laughter. A pair of diggers, sitting beneath a timber-framed awning not 10 yards from the ferry landing, had been observing the lifeboat's approach. They evidently found Frost's horror very amusing. One of them tipped his hat, and the other gave a mock salute.
"Come for a gander?"
"No, Balbeast, come to do his laundry in the river. Only problem, he forgot to get his clothes dirty first."
The men laughed again, and Frost, red-faced, turned away. It was true that his life had been circumscribed by the twin compasses of duty and habit. It was true that he had not travelled and would not speculate. It was true that his coat had been brushed that morning and his vest was clean. He was not ashamed of these things. But Frost had spent his childhood in a place without other children, and he did not understand teasing. If another man made fun at his expense, he did not know how to respond. His face became hot, and his throat became tight, and he could only smile unnaturally. The oarsmen had lifted the lifeboat clear of the water. They agreed to transport the pair back to Hokitika in 2 hours' time. 2 hours, Frost thought, with a sinking heart, and then drew lots to determine which man would remain with the boat. The unlucky man sat down, disappointed. The rest, rattling their coins, disappeared into the trees. The two men opposite were still laughing.
"Ask him for a pinch of snuff," the first digger was saying to his mate.
"Ask him how often he writes home, to Mayfair.
Ask him if he knows how to roll up his sleeves past his elbow.
Ask him about his father's income. He'll be pleased about that."
It was desperately unfair, Frost thought, when he had never even been to Mayfair, when his father was a poor man, when he was the New Zealander. But the appellation sounded foolish. One did not say Englander. His own income was paltry when one considered the enormous portion of his wages that he diverted into his father's pocket every month. As for the suit he was currently wearing, he had bought it with his own wage. He had brushed the coat himself that morning, and he very frequently rolled his sleeves above his elbows. His cuffs were buttoned, as were the digger's own. He had purchased his shirt at the Hokitika outfitters, just as they had. Frost wanted to say all of this, but instead he knelt down and held out his hands, palm upward, for the collie dog to lick. "Can we move?" he said in an undertone to Mannering.
"In a moment."
Having replaced his purse in his inner pocket, Mannering was now fussing over the buttons of his frock coat, for he could not decide whether to leave all but the bottom button undone, which would give him the best ease of access to his pistols, or all but the topmost button undone, which would do best to conceal his pistols from sight. Frost shot another nervous look around him, avoiding the gaze of the diggers beneath the awning. The track from the ferry landing forked away through the trees, one spoke bearing eastward, towards Lake Canieri, and the other southeast, towards the Hokitika Gorge. Beyond the south bank of the river lay a rich patchwork of claims and mines that included, among others, the gold mine Aurora. Frost did not know any of this. In fact, he could have hardly pointed north had he been asked. He looked about for a sign that might direct them to Chinatown, but there was none. He could see no Chinese faces in the crowd.
"That way,"
Mannering said, as if hearing his thoughts. He nodded his head to the east.
"Upriver. None too far."
Frost had caught the dog between his knees. He now began kneading her wet fur, more for his own reassurance than for the dog's pleasure.
Ought we to agree on a plan of some kind?
He ventured, squinting upward at the other man.
No need,
said Mannering, buckling his belt a little higher.
No need for a plan.
Quee doesn't have a pistol. I've got two. That's the only plan I need.
Frost was not entirely soothed by this. He freed Holly, she bounded away from him immediately, and stood up.
You're not going to shoot an unarmed man.
Mannering had decided upon the top button.
There, he said. That's best.
He smoothed his coat over his body.
Did you not hear me?
I heard you, said Mannering. Stop fretting, Charlie. You'll only draw attention to yourself.
You might answer me if you want to ease my fretting,
Frost said, in a voice that was rather shrill.
Listen, Mannering said, turning to face him at last. I've paid Chinaman to work my claims for the past 5 years, and if there's one thing I can tell you, it's this. They go after that smoke like a hatter for a whore, and no exceptions. By this time on a Saturday, every yellow man this side of the Alps will be laid out limp with the dragon in his eye. You could walk into Chinatown and round up every one of them with one arm tied behind your back. All right. There'll be no need for violence. There'll be no need for any guns. They're only for show. It's all stacked to our advantage, Charlie. When a man's full of opium, it's like he's made of water. Remember that. He's useless. He's a child.
This audiobook has been broken into multiple parts to make the download faster. You have reached the end of a part, but not the end of the complete audiobook. So please check your library for the next part of this audiobook.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.